Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Their customers will get the right insurance, auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, and get it at the best price. And if there is a claim, you can be assured that Purdy Insurance will throw their heart and soul into it and go to work for you. The customer always comes first. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Mariners get it done against the White Sox.
The 3-2 pitch, the bogey swing, and a fly ball deep to right field. Does he have another one? Yes, he does. Goodbye, baseball. Daniel Vogelbach with his second home run of the afternoon, his fourth of the year.
And on the Mariners radio network, they asked him after the game, Vogelbach, about the home run and about the peace of mind. He said, yeah, I was on deck, he said, and I heard about the Phillies catcher getting berated by somebody about not buying digital media. I didn't have that problem.
Little stuff like that.
Little?
Yeah.
All right. Very quickly, I want to get into something. Dick Vitale brought, everyone's entitled to get a conversation started. So this is not being me being critical of Dick Vitale, because this is a conversation starter. And it's important to have a conversations get started. But he's talking about the use of instant replay in the final minute of a game. And as you know, I am completely against this. Not even close. I am completely against it. In fact, I think I'm getting sick of instant replay. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am. I'm getting sick of instant replay. I don't mind the use of instant replay to take care of egregious errors. I think that's what it's there for, to take care of egregious errors. But we're now trying to use instant replay to, quote, correct everything, in my opinion. And it is being used so often that I think it's hurting the game. It's hurting the flow of the game. It's hurting, I mean, you get an egregious error that's a correctable thing. Guy standing on the, okay, receiver goes to make a catch. Foot is squarely on the line. They called it a catch, and they correct it. That's fine. I got that part. All right, I'm fine with that part. And to me, that is the purpose of why you have it, so that you can correct something like that. I'm okay with that. To me, that's what it's there for. But too often now, it takes forever to take care of small stuff. And now, and Dick Vitale, in his conversation starter, was, it should be there to correct errors, like in the final minute. And I think what the NFL has done with this, with the pass interference thing, is they've gone out and they've overreacted And I think that, you know, and it's only my, we'll find out a year from now, but this is my initial impression of what the NFL did. And other entities, whether it's the NCAA or the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, I think the NFL will regret the day that they said yes to that rule. I think they will regret the day they did that. Because I think they overreacted and opened up a can of worms they should not. I can't see it. I can't see why they did it. The only change I would make to replay on the college level is actually a very simple one. And I've advocated this for a while, so this is not unusual for me to say this and talk about this one. And it's not that. If the ball hits the backboard and then the ball's hit by a player, is it goaltending or interference? That's one where I think they have enough cameras on backboards now where you can see that. And you can do that during a break, by the way, if need be. Everything else I would leave alone. I don't know what, why they're going so overboard on all of this stuff, as if it, you know, it's the, we have to get everything. And the NFL is, and this starts with Al Riveron, has created an atmosphere where we've got to get absolutely everything right. We have to be perfect. Well, you don't have to be perfect. I think the NHL uses replay for the most part well. I'm not crazy, but although I haven't really seen them use anything on offsides this year, have you?
Not that I can think of either, no.
Right, I mean, they use it on goals. Perfect. Baseball, I don't know. To me, there should be another umpire up in the box watching this stuff the entire time. They take too long on their replays, and I think they take too long because it's centralized. They're trying to save money. Okay, well, if it's that important to you, spend some money and put, you have 30 press boxes, load them up with equipment, and then 15 additional umpires and technicians to go with them. It's not going to cost you that much. Keep everything on site and local. And then there's the NBA. The NBA is rather judicious in its use of replay. And once again, I mean, I'm not a... gigantic NBA fan. I mean, when the playoffs come around, I absolutely watch the playoffs and so forth. During the regular season, I can give or take, you know, whatever. But I got to admit, they do some things pretty well in that league. But Mike Krzyzewski's right. He made the statement last week when we talked with one of the writers in the Washington Post about this. But the NCAA needs a seat at the table with the Players Association and the NBA owners. You know, let's all work together on this thing. Everyone knows what college basketball means to the product you see in the NBA. You don't think, for example, that Zion Williamson's not a better all-around player by playing 1 year with Mike Krzyzewski? I'll bet his concept of how to play defense a little bit better. And also, his marketability by playing 1 year at Duke. You know, you can do all sorts of stuff. You can go to China if you want. You can go to Europe if you want. There are a lot of different places that you can go to, not just college basketball. But then you've got the opportunity at hand where take Zion Williamson going to Duke. If he had played in China last year, like Emmanuel Mudiay did 2 years ago, instead of going to SMU, you probably were asking the night he got drafted, who's Emmanuel Mudiay? You would be asking the same question had it been Zion Williamson playing overseas, because you wouldn't have seen him play. I mean, it's like Luka Doncic comes in. He's just a terrific player. But he's not going to get lucrative endorsement deals out of the gate. He's going to have to earn them by playing. I mean, Giannis, for goodness sakes. Oh, look at Giannis. Oh, yeah. Like he's an overnight sensation. Antetokounmpo is in his sixth season in the NBA. He is no overnight sensation. Okay? It's not an overnight sensation at all. And that is a fact. It took him into his fifth season. When Giannis got into his fifth season, then the persona took off. And his marketability soared. But it was in his fifth season in the NBA. Zion Williamson's going to come right out of Duke and they're going to go, whoa. Anthony Davis right out of Kentucky. Whoa. You don't think playing a year at Kentucky hurt? I mean, that didn't hurt Anthony Davis at all, playing a year at Kentucky. Not in the least. It gave him instant marketability. And that's what college basketball does, is it gives you name recognition if you do well. And that is the NFL brilliantly is set up by college football. Everybody knew who Saquon Barkley was when he walked up to the podium. Everybody knew. There was no need for Saquon Barkley to introduce himself to America. America and Penn State football gets very good ratings. There was no introduction needed. They all knew who Saquon Barkley was, just like everybody knew who Baker Mayfield was. There was no introduction needed. College football does a brilliant job of giving the NFL instant marketing recognition of their players. Well, in a lot of ways, college basketball does the same thing. You don't have to be introduced to players. I mean, when Culver gets drafted, oh, yeah, he's the guy from Texas Tech, played in the Final Four. And DeAndre Hunter gets drafted, oh, yeah. I saw him with Virginia in the Final Four. Thus, let's bring it now back full circle. That's why the NCAA, which gets its money from the tournament, okay, they don't get their money from college football. The NCAA gets their money from the tournament. And they need to have a seat at the table. And the NCAA's got to get organized about this. They've got to get organized. And say, look, he said, you know, this is what you're doing to our game here. We need a seat at the table, and this is what we're looking for. We're all for letting players go from high school to the NBA. Let them go. Let them go. It's up to them and their parents. If that's the decision they want to make, that's the decision they want to make. Let them go. But if they decide to go to college, we'd like them for 2 years. In baseball, for example, for those of you to go to Cutters games, you've enjoyed watching guys like Reese Hoskins over the years and Cesar Hernandez and Mikel Franco. They all started up at Williamsport. If you are a high school athlete and you make the decision to go, you get drafted, let's just say Sean Carey gets drafted and you're 17 years of age, you're finishing your high school senior year, you're going to turn 18 probably in August. And Sean Carey gets drafted in the eighth round by the Phillies. Sean Carey can now make this decision. I will sign with the Phillies. And if you do sign with the Phillies, they're going to send you to the Gulf Coast League. If Sean Carey then makes the decision to say, no, I'm going to go to college instead, and he has a letter of intent to play for Penn State. And Sean opts to go to Penn State instead, he has to spend 3 years at Penn State. And then he re-enters the draft. So at the age of 18, he made the decision. I'll either go to the Phillies and start my career as an 18-year-old and go to the Gulf Coast League and start winding my way through the minors, or I opted for college, at which point he has to stay for 3 years minimum. Now, there is no rule. I mean, the rule for the NFL and college is 3 years. Let's face it, physically, that's the only rule that makes sense. But it is 3 years. Basketball is the one that has a real dicey with this one-and-done rule. Well, you already have examples in Major League Baseball and the NFL as to how they do it. Now, Major League Baseball is a little different because you have to wind your way through the minors. If, for example, Sean Carey decides, I'm going to go to Penn State, he pitches for Penn State, he's great, he re-enters the draft, it turns out the Phillies out of luck, redraft him, he's a fifth-round pick, he would actually go to Williamsport and not to the Gulf Coast League. College players drafted go to the New York Penn League. College basketball needs the same thing, where they sit down at the table and say, look, if LeBron James wants to go directly from St. Vincent's in Akron to the NBA at the age of 18 when he's done with his high school eligibility, let him. But if LeBron James decides, you know what, I'd rather go to college, and he picks Ohio State, he's going to stay at Ohio State for 2 years. And then he can re-enter the draft. What happens here is that I think it then gives the choice that where the phenom gets the opportunity to go right away, which Zion Williamson probably would have. But there'd be several that would choose and opt for college as well because they'd be like, I don't know. Now, would you have missed out on the Kevin Durant in the tournament with Texas or a Zion Williamson this year or an Anthony Davis? Yeah, probably. But also there'd be a little more stability in the college game, too. All right. Take a break. Back with more. What do you think about that? Your comments on that. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you don't have to worry about this. Wrestling doesn't have these problems. There's nowhere to go. You have nowhere to go that really helps the decision-making process. I mean, you know, you'll get an Olympic year where some guys get an Olympic exemption, they sit out. I got that. I mean, sometimes Erica Dombach has to deal with that in soccer, with she has players taken for USA Soccer in the developmental program. She's lost players and probably has lost maybe a couple chances at college cups because of it. But they get the players back eventually. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. You need to be covered. Right insurance. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. And you obviously want the best price. Your budget means something. And they work very hard to find that for you. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Well, we have not been treated to what has been a great championship year. I thought the three college football playoff games were eh. Clemson routed Notre Dame. And Alabama really didn't have a lot of trouble with Oklahoma. Clemson didn't have a lot of trouble with Alabama. The the Super Bowl was Now, if you're a paid, again, if you're a fan of the team, well, yeah, you're excited about this. So it's awesome. I mean, I understand that. I'm just talking about from a neutral point of view. It's a lot. It's All right. The women's basketball tournament the other night. I mean, you have when officials don't know what a walk is, you've got a real problem with your sport. And the two basketball games on Saturday were, they were rock fights. Not again, if you're a fan of the team. I'm talking about growing the game, and I think everyone knows what I said about the NCAA Wrestling Championship. The NCAA Wrestling Championship was the same as what I've been talking about. A lot of You're like, oh, no, he was great. It was like, it's great because you're a fan of the team. Hey, it is not great when it is a neutral fan saying, hey, I want to watch this, and then you sit there and nothing happens. That's the problem. The problem is when nothing happens. You know, you watched the game the other night. If you were a fan of Texas Tech or Michigan State, you're like you're glued to every second of it. But to be honest with you, the way Texas Tech plays defense and how physical they are with the way they play defense, that's not entertaining. See what I'm driving at here, Sean? I mean, if you're a fan that's neutral, because again, what makes the rating? The rating every single time is going to be the neutral fan, the casual fan. They're the ones that are going to be the ones that drive the rating. Well, that's getting people interested in what's going on.
nothing happened on Saturday night to move the needle about, wow, can you believe? It's like, it was more like, whoa, geez.
Like you mentioned, for the casual fan, you're just looking for a great game. I mean, going into tonight's game, I mean, what a complete 180 turn Virginia can have, especially last year, getting knocked out by a 16 seed by 20 plus points, so they can, you know, they can erase that for good tonight and exercise that demon if they can come home with a national championship tonight. And look at Texas Tech. It's a football school, let's face it, and not a basketball school. I think people are pretty surprised they've gone this far. But how about the performance they did on Saturday night, though? Literally shutting down Michigan State. I was floored that they barely got 50 points. They ended up with only 32% on offense for the whole game. But although, you know, I will say, I think it was Raft after the end of the game on Saturday night. Just he made the observation, which I thought was pretty accurate, that the Red Raiders didn't look tired after the game. Looked like they could go another 20-plus minutes. So it'll be interesting to see tonight if they can keep that defense cranked up. But you're right. Do the defenses cancel each other out, and does it give us poor quality of play?
No, I'm not talking about poor quality of play. I'm talking about exciting quality of play. Let's take Virginia. Let's give you one for Virginia. Virginia's playing, what, Purdue? And they're in this big-time shootout. Klein knocks down a three. Guy knocks down a three, right? Carson Edwards knocks down a three, all right? And it goes, they're going back and forth. It was like watching the gunslingers out there. It was great. It was entertaining. It was fun. See, that's what I'm talking about. What makes it fun? I've talked about with Penn State wrestling how many times now, where I've mentioned how Cale has a style and he encourages the style of wrestling that has the guys going for it. Penn State fans have been so lucky to have a coach that gets it. And so they've been getting the most entertaining wrestling going, and then they get to the championships and they're going up against all these guys that just want to stand there and dance around. Well, if you're a neutral fan, you want to watch that? And please do not give me some mumbo-jumbo phone call here about, well, it's the sophistication. Sophistication does not bring anything to the table in terms of a TV rating. Oh, it's the subtleties of. No, subtleties don't. Offense does. We can talk about defense winning championships, and that's very, very true. Okay? It certainly does all of that. But the Super Bowl was a defensive battle. There is nobody I've talked to that thought the Super Bowl was a great game. I mean, do you think the Super Bowl is a great game?
Not really, no.
No, of course not.
No.
Because it wasn't. It was dull. Like, okay, well, all right. I watched because, I mean, that's what we do is watch the Super Bowl. Especially in recent years, we've had some compelling Super Bowl games. Okay. Well, this wasn't one of them. I mean, you're going to get games like that, but the problem is we're getting a bunch of games like that right now.
It makes me think of the Phillies, too. I mean, with this season's team, and just with
exciting.
Just with them running the bases. That was one of the knocks on the last year's team was, when they're out running the bases. I mean, look how many times they've been able to snag an extra base, whether it's Bryce Harper or yesterday. Andrew McCutchen was able to get an extra base to third yesterday. So just the awareness of out there on the field. And, you don't want to take your eyes off it because you're afraid you're going to miss something great.
The Phillies have been a fun team to watch. If I always ask the base question, if you're not a Phillies fan, I'm using them as an example right now. Would you want to watch them? Yes. I mean, obviously the team I follow last year, the Red Sox were so good last year that a casual fan would go, hey, I like the way they play baseball. Phillies, love the way they play baseball, at least so far. Well, Virginia, again, it is not the job of Chris Beard or Tony Bennett to put together a style of play that draws fans to the TV set.
Yeah, we just hope we can love tonight's game. We just hope it's going to play out in a great way where it's going to keep us glued to the edge of the couch.
Right, but that's not their job to do that. Their job is to look at their personnel and say, okay, what does it take for me to win? And again, they want to play the pack line defense. They want to lure you into three-point shots a foot to 18 inches further out than you want to take it. And when you drive it, the pack line's like a funnel. They're trying to get you to take that ball straight down the basketball lane, boom, turn the corner down the lane. Well, guess what? You've got five jerseys around you.
Oh, and Bucknell's Nathan Davis has said the exact same thing on the show. 1 point. I just got to get 1 point more than the other
guys.
Right.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get that 1 point somewhere to do it. Now, Virginia Tech's different. Okay? They want to force you to the baseline. They're always forcing you to the baseline all the time. And they use the baseline as the third defender. That's what they're trying to do. And for both, they have players that have bought into it, and it works. They have players who have bought into it, and it works. But it doesn't mean that, as neutral fans, we love it. Because it's not fun. It's not fun to watch. And we welcome everyone back to Minneapolis. At halftime, we'll have a tractor pull. Oh! Some action.
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends. Hello, friends. They're putting time back on the clock. They're what?
No, 2.4 on the clock. It was funny because after the first game wrapped up on Saturday night, I was scrolling Twitter, and that's where I first saw about the double dribble. To be honest, I didn't catch it either. So to Gene Steratore's credit, I was glad he was there to clear the air.
Dick and I were texting during the game.
I almost texted you about that, too.
And Dick texted me, and he says, "Was that double dribble?" And I texted him back, quote, "It sure was." We noticed right away.
So it was because of enough of that hesitation when the ball went off off his leg and then he was able to pick it back up again. I mean, it was just clear as day.
No, the thing that was clear as day to me was him catching it with two hands. In other words, it's not...
Getting back in control of the ball.
In other words, getting the ball, when he grabbed it with two hands, I was like, okay, you can't dribble it again. It didn't matter to me if it went off his foot. Going off the foot doesn't matter. It's putting both hands on the ball. He's dribbling, boom. Then, of course, he tried to go behind his back. At the same time, the kid from Auburn's trying to grab his shirt. Okay? So he's reaching in. But when he grabbed it with two hands, and then he started dribbling again, I was like, that's a double dribble. And Dick texted me the second I thought that, and I texted him right back. I said, it sure was. So we saw it right away, and the tip-off was the grabbing of the ball with two hands. You're done at that point. The ball was not deflected because he put the ball behind his back. That's why I knew it wasn't deflected. Even though I know the kid's trying to foul him, that was the reason why I knew right away it was double dribble, because he put two hands on it, especially a ball that was he put behind his back. At that point, you can do one of three things. There's actually a fourth thing you can do. So here are the four things. A, call a timeout. B, shoot it. C, pass it. Or dribble it again, which is illegal. those are the things you can do with it.
Well, shoot you can take out of the equation because he was, half court at that point, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. But you see what I'm saying.
Sure, yeah.
Now, as for the foul, that was a foul. That was a foul. I'm looking at it, and I'm asking the first thing... The first thing I asked was whether he kicked his leg out. That's the only thing. Okay? Did he kick his leg out?
Well, yeah, he kicked his leg out. But you know why he kicked his leg out? He kicked his leg out because he got hit, and it forced his leg to kick out. That was the reason why he got kicked out a little bit. But that was a foul.
That's just so wild how that connected to the very end of the game. Because, yeah, if that call, if that double dribble would have been made, and Kyle Guy wouldn't have hit that shot in the corner and got fouled for, right. You know, put him on the line for three.
Yeah, but not only that, though, this is the part where I felt like they lost a little control in the broadcast. When Kyle Guy hit that great three-point shot in the corner, right, you could tell just by watching. And again, look, obviously when you've done over 1,100 games like I have, okay, on the network, I've done over 1,100 of them. So I'm looking at the game maybe differently than you do. The first thing I thought was the clock moved enough there, didn't it? They're going to have to recheck. And they never said for 90 seconds to 2 minutes about them checking the clock. And I thought that clock should be at 7.4 when I was watching the replay. Well, that 0.9 meant everything. Because remember, when did Kyle Guy take the shot? 0.6. He doesn't get the shot off. Yeah. But do I want replay on that? No. I don't want replay on the foul. It was a foul. I think it was a heck of a call by that official. It's the right call. It's exactly what you should be doing. That's exactly how you call that play. Nothing wrong with that at all. But do I want replay on the double dribble, in which Dick Vitale floated? So I'm just not being critical of Dick Vitale. We have a different opinion, though. And my opinion is simple. No. And the reason it's no is we had too much replay. I'm sick of all the stoppages. And I'm sensing a lot of the fans feel the same way, too. They're just sick of the game constantly. Oh, here we go. God, great. All right, another one. All right. And the NFL is going to regret the day that they voted yes on pass interference. They're going to regret it. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
How come we don't get calls like that? No? All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Neil Coulong will be on tomorrow. Neil's been going to town on some of these on some of our Tuesday talks, hasn't he? I mean, he's been unloading on the NFL.
Now under 3 weeks away from the draft. Wow, time is flying.
Yeah. Well, the draft.
Yeah. We may have Hoops Weiss tomorrow, too. We got back in touch with Dick Weiss over the weekend, so we'll see if we can get a championship game recap with Hoops for tomorrow. So.
Good. There we go.
Yep.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. All right. So that'll be tomorrow. It has nothing to do with, to me, it has nothing to do with the quality of the game that these guys play. I'm just talking about the aesthetics of it. They have to do what they have to do. As I mentioned earlier, you're talking about the one and dones. The NCAA needs to do something and get themselves to the table. Got to get yourself to the table. Look, you want us to be your feeder system? Okay, great. Well, turn for you. Guess what? Okay, we want to say in how this works. Help us help you. You're getting a better product every time that you draft one of our guys.
And as usual, the NCAA has been doing nothing. Well, what can we do? I don't know. There are certain things you can do. As a matter of fact. You just got to get yourself in the game and talk to them. So it gets me. Get yourself into the game. Yeah, they've been sitting on the sidelines letting everybody dictate to them what was going on. No. Because by 2022, I fully expect the NBA to allow high school players to go directly in by 2022. You know, it's early in the show that all the texts I received from Bryce, Reese, and JT all centered around one familiar theme.
Look at you with the Rolodex on your iPhone. Nice job by you.
But it just seemed like the same theme kept coming up. It's like that quote from Major Hochstetter all the time in Hogan's Heroes. What is this man doing here?
He will not be there tonight, nor his son.
They seem to be okay with Suit Light.
Yeah, he was awesome yesterday.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.